This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:36 a.m. on Monday, the 21st of March. You're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Xiaoning and Chen Li. In the meantime, we are turning our attention to Sri Lanka because the Russian invasion of Ukraine has a far-reaching global impact, hitting the economies of South Asian countries that were already fragile to begin with. Sri Lanka being particularly affected as rising oil prices put pressure on an economy where 20% of all imports are petroleum-related.
With a population of 22 million and an economy valued at $81 billion, Sri Lanka is experiencing an unprecedented crisis. With inflation as high as 15%, which is the worst in Asia, and their foreign exchange reserve diminishing currently only at $2 billion, and complicating the situation is payments of $7 billion that are due this year with foreign-owned debt of $32 billion. So with the increasing risk of default, the Sri Lanka government has reached out to friendly countries and the IMF for aid, but can Sri Lanka bail itself out of this situation?
So to better understand what's happening in Sri Lanka, we turn to Bernard Aw, APAC economist for COFAS. Bernard, good morning. Thanks for speaking to us today. Could we start with maybe just getting an understanding, a better understanding of the economic situation in Sri Lanka, the size of it, what the GDP forecasts for the year are, and what key indicators of the economy are?
Sure. Good morning, Shazana and Chen Li. So Sri Lanka was hit hard by the pandemic. So GDP fell by 3.6% in 2020 because of a significant loss of tourism income, as well as the necessary lockdown measures. And unemployment rate actually rose quite quickly to 5.8%. But the authorities mounted a robust policy response, which is complemented by a strong vaccination drive. So GDP is expected to have recovered by over 3% last year. And mobility indicators also largely back to the pre-pandemic levels. Tourism arrivals also starting to recover in the later half of 2021. But looking ahead, however, the economic outlook for Sri Lanka is constrained by a few factors, including its significant public debt, as well as the external financing problems. And GDP growth is expected to be quite badly affected by the impact of the foreign currency shortage and energy crisis and a surge in consumer prices.
Okay, let's talk about the surge in consumer prices, which is, of course, inflation. Highest in Asia, 15%. How has the current oil price of $110 a barrel actually impacted their economy? How dependent are they on petroleum imports?
So the recent spike in oil prices certainly make a bad situation worse. So Sri Lanka was already in an energy crisis before the Ukraine conflict because the country was struggling to pay for critical imports, not just for fuel, but also for food due to a lack of US dollars. And these shortages of fuel, food, medicines have hit the country really hard, resulting, as you mentioned, record levels of inflation, double-digit inflation rates. And I think for me, the concern is that with global food prices rising over 50% last year, we are quite concerned about the rise in Sri Lanka's food inflation, which hit nearly 26% last month, because this will lead to increased popular dissatisfaction in the government and potentially triggering social unrest in them. So we are watching on this front quite closely.
Their foreign reserve were $7.5 billion in January 2020, but have diminished significantly to $2.3 billion in February 2022. What is causing the drain of its foreign reserves?
So Sri Lanka needed to cough up foreign currencies to service significant amounts of external debt payment, which is borrowing foreign currency. And then, as you mentioned earlier in the program, they have about $7 billion to pay this year. They also need to cover its current account deficit. So because of a lack of tourism dollars due to the collapse of the tourism sector, as well as limited access to external financing instruments, so the country has no choice but to tap into its foreign reserve to make this foreign currency payments.
Bernard, you mentioned earlier that the tourism industry was starting to pick up, but what are the trends moving forward? Will tourism pick up fast enough in order to help Sri Lanka recover from this sooner rather than later?
So if this question was posed to me 1 month early before the Russian-Ukraine conflict, I think the answer would be yes. For the global outlook for tourism sector, we are expecting it to picked up throughout this year, because we expect countries to gradually opening its border to international tourists. And as you mentioned earlier in the program as well, Malaysia is doing that as well. But now the outlook for Sri Lanka tourism sector is subject to larger uncertainty. So for example, in the first 2 months of this year, Russia and Ukraine accounted for a quarter of its total tourist arrivals. And clearly this will no longer be the case from March onward. And a weaker recovery does not bode well for Sri Lanka, because the government is partially banking on higher tourism revenue to help replenish their FX reserve and to alleviate their external financing problems.
Now, you also highlighted the fact that this country has high debt repayments, as much as $7 billion this year, another repayment of $1 billion maturing in July, total foreign debt, more than $30 billion. Default rate seems rather high. What options does it have, actually?
I think it has several options, but overall, I think that the authorities may have waited too long to ask for external help, especially from the IMF. So they only talked to the IMF last week, and they were for some time quite adamant not to seek IMF bailout. They have done so 16 times in the past 56 years, but this time around, they decided they tried to tackle their rapidly dwindling international reserves through the so-called homegrown solutions. So these are such as imposing import restrictions, selling its gold reserves for dollars, securing credit lines from India, and discussing debt restructuring with China. But ultimately, these efforts still fell short. The government is simply in too much debt, and rising food and energy prices certainly did not help with things. So consequently, you saw that the three global rating agencies have all downgraded its sovereign rating further into junk territory.
The government of President Gotabaya Rajapaksa won office in November 2019 presidential election with a two-thirds majority in parliament. How has this government performed so far, and is he losing support from his voters?
So, to be fair, his administration soon ran into the COVID-19 pandemic just months after taking power, and they have done actually well. They have mounted a prompt policy response, and they have also put up a successful vaccination drive, which all of which helped to cushion the initial impact of the pandemic. But the country was already facing serious challenges before his administration, including unsustainable levels of public debt, low FX reserve, and pretty large financing needs. So this pandemic just magnified the challenges and worsened the debt situation that Sri Lanka is in. Is he losing support from voters? I think yes, he is, because of frustrations, the population's frustration over the government's inability to contain high inflation and to ensure an adequate supply of essential goods, especially in food and fuel.
Bernard, thanks very much for speaking to us. That was Bernard Aw, APEC economist for COFAS, giving us a depiction of what's happening in Sri Lanka with regards to its economy. It is facing the worst economic crisis that it's seen in years. It has asked for help from the IMF, so I suppose that's the next line of action being awaited on.
Last resort.
pretty much. Bernard just did say they asked IMF for help 16 times in the past 56 years. That's a pretty startling number.
And just to give you a sense of what's happening on the ground, right? Fuel shortages, blackouts that last as long as 7 hours, apparently very normal for Sri Lankans. And they also have to wait at a long time at the fuel pumps, even though prices have surged more than 50% this month. So not a good situation for them there.
Not at all. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.